No, I'm not even going to dignify that. You're a monster, Josh. Honestly, it's more that he's bald.
Oh, they're awful. No, you shouldn't. It was more, that was more of like a little, like, you know, like 1-2 punch where it was just kind of like, oh, that's kind of brutal. But honestly, Charles is a dick.
Yeah.
But he comes off as being like a kind, loving, caring thing.
Oh, he's a monster who always uses his powers for his own gain, and that makes him a hypocrite because he claims to not do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So let's not forget how he treated Moira McTaggart and his own fucking son.
Oh, yeah. He's brutal. He's a brutal, brutal human being.
Yeah.
That wasn't the first one that we know.
The first team he sent to go rescue his original kids. All right.
Charles Xavier is the worst. Yeah, we should never.
I'm Matthew.
And I'm Josh.
Hi, I'm back.
I think that's true.
That is correct. Yeah, it disgusts me. Also, I forgot one of the worst things Charles Xavier has ever done. Onslaught. And that's just basically just a series of the worst moments of the 90s.
Yeah, that was. That really was.
Okay. Also, he helped create World War Hulk.
Well,
are the Illuminati. I'm just saying. Nope. Nope. Complicit.
Man. Well, Charles Xavier is an awful, awful mutant.
Yeah. Nothing. Next topic.
Jesus. Matt!
I'm the world's worst fake gamer boy. No, because, I'm not a thirst trap, Chris.
What are y'all talking about?
Not talking about her. It's fine.
So, Matt, how was PAX?
PAX was baller, yo.
Man.
Pew, pew!
He's not really adjusting well to the new format.
I'm not. It's true. It's the worst. Yeah,
I know.
If I don't have that kind of negative feedback, then how can I ever respond properly?
Well, easy. Yeah, okay.
All right. I played lots of games, bros.
What was your bottom three?
Bottom three? I don't have a list.
Chris,
I need the list.
Let's hear what his worst three games that he played.
Well, as long as we're talking about the worst games. It's true, Josh. What is my favorite Final Fantasy game?
Final Fantasy VI.
What game do I think is generally super overrated and not as good as people claim?
Final Fantasy VII.
Eight. So, believe me when I tell you, that the Final Fantasy VII Remake is the fucking truth. And I walked out of that demo going, I need this injected into my body right now. It went from a, why is Final Fantasy VII getting a remake, to I need more of it this very instant. The game is that good.
Well, that's crazy. I've heard things about that from people that aren't you, and I'm happy to hear it from you. And in other really exciting news, Final Fantasy VIII is also out, and yes, it is also amazing. Because
and Josh, you would super appreciate this. As I mentioned earlier on Twitter, the Final Fantasy VIII remaster really draws you in.
Oh no, you need to just stop. You need to stop there. But the Final Fantasy VII.
So in Final Fantasy VIII, the way you get magic is you use the draw ability to draw it out of your enemies. It's the most, it's the biggest game mechanic in the entire game.
And you can increase your skills and your weapon abilities and all that stuff based on the magic you draw.
And then, Josh, when people on Twitter were like, boo this man, I was like, all right, guys, I will stop at this junction. And Chris, that is funny. Because the junction system is where you use the magic that you drew from enemies and add it to your stats. That's called the junction system.
Oh.
Basically, I guess what I'm trying to say is I'm hilarious.
Yeah.
And you will quote everything I say.
All right. So Final Fantasy VII Remake. Yes. What is your takes? What do we got? What are the hot takes?
Final Fantasy VIII?
No,
or VII? Okay,
seven.
Okay. Bro. Oh. It's a take because I can't even fucking put it into words. Bro. Okay.
All right, so how's the combat?
That's the best part. Okay. So, like, all right. The game is so... You shut your goddamn mouth. The game is so pretty, and the gameplay is so fluid, and you enter battle. It's very it's half Final Fantasy 15, half Final Fantasy like classic ATB turn based system.
Okay,
the battle starts all in real time. Square does like basic attacks, and you just hold it down and you like slash away. Well, you hold it down for Barrett and he'll just auto gun, and then until his arm needs to cool down. When you're Cloud, you just tap it to slash. You have a button for dodge roll and a button for block.
Oh, cool.
Pretty much it. And what's amazing is up and down on the D-pad cycles you to the next character, so you can take control of them in an instant.
That's awesome.
So with just that, it's basically Final Fantasy 15. You just mash buttons and move around and dodge in real time. But what turns this game into a fucking masterpiece is that by doing the weak attacks that are not ever really designed to damage, like, you can kill enemies with them, but it's going to take a long-ass time.
Mm-hmm.
But you build up ATB charges. Build up an ATB charge, you press X, and the game pauses. Or it goes into incredibly super slow-mo. And then up pops all of your options that would normally be in a Final Fantasy game. So each ATB charge, you can either use it to use an item, you can use it to cast a spell, or you can use it to do an ability. And in abilities, they're more specialized attacks. So not, they've changed some stuff around. So one of your basic abilities is Braver. So even though that used to be a limit break, it is now an ability, and you can use it on command. And he's got some new stuff, like a focused slash and triple slash, and in the demo, and then he knows some magic. And okay, at any time you expend an ATB charge and you can do these abilities, and they can stack on each other. So I would have Barrett, and he would get an ATB charge, and I would do like a bullet rain, and he would just like unleash a bunch of stuff, and while he's doing that, I'd switch to Cloud and initiate one of his attacks, and they would just attack at the same time. And then as you take damage, your limit bar raises. And when that goes up, that's when you can like unleash the classic limit breaks. And for Cloud, it was cross slash. And for Barrett, it was the power shot or whatever it's called. And you go through the initial quest of placing the bomb on the Mako reactor. I'm sorry, it's actually, now I know it's Mako. Like Legend of Korra is Mako. That's how it's pronounced. energy, but it's Mako. And then you fight the guard scorpion boss battle, and the bosses are so fucking cinematic. As you like take them down to certain percentages, it triggers a slight cutscene and the battle changes, and oh my god, it was so fucking good. And the voice acting is incredible, and they'll talk to each other during battle, and they'll like tell you what they need, and they're like having little conversations, and it really just builds on the characters in a way that drew me in more than the entirety of Seven ever did.
Well, here's the bigger question. Did they explain how it's all going to unfold?
I mean, no. We don't. We know that the first game is going to pretty much take place in Midgar.
Okay. So it's going to be... Is it going to be three separate downloads?
Yeah, there's going to be three separate games. Now, how they're going to do that, are they going to... Is it going to be released as a downloadable expansion, or are they going to be full-fledged releases? We have no idea.
Okay.
And we probably won't until the first game's out, because they're not going to want to... like launches.
Okay.
We did not handle materia in the demo because it sockets into your weapons, and that's how you get like the spells and stuff. It's just in the demo they were already equipped. I assume you couldn't really access the status screen demo. But the materia system is in there, and it functions as usual. Okay, so I played Dragon Ball Z Kakarot, the upcoming action RPG. Yeah, I was saving. I think we're really going to like it. I mean, there's just something kind of eye-rolly about having to start all over with the Saiyan Saga. But there's also something really cool about an open-world RPG where you can level up and do quests and just... kind of dick around until you move on to the next story mission. So they had like this, it was just a 20-minute demo and they let you just run wild. I took down one of the dragon, one of the dinosaurs. Gohan. Down one of them. I flew around on the Nimbus Cloud. I partnered up with Piccolo to take down Raditz. The fights are really cool because they're all like real time, but you have like a dragon RPG-esque command system. It's just all action. So you have like, no, it's much more Xenoverse 2-esque. Four abilities mapped to the circle, square, X, and triangle buttons, and they each take a set amount of key, so it's like MP points or something, or ability points, and you just have to charge up to replenish them, all while dodging attacks and like breaking their guard. I don't know, I didn't get much time to play it, and I think the game would greatly benefit from actually playing it where they'll like roll out everything in a tutorial rather than throw you in the game and be like, learn all these complicated as fuck controls. I spent most of the demo trying to figure out how to fly. And, you know. Yes.
Well, now, Chris. That's really cool.
Yes. Play that I think you're gonna like. Did you hear me? I said I played Doom Eternal.
Oh.
It's real good.
Were there a lot of shotguns?
The thing I can tell you, Chris, is that if you enjoy Doom 2016... thing you're going to want more. It's literally like the perfect sequel to it. Yeah, you're going to be playing this until the end of 2019. 100%.
Yeah.
Actually, yo. You know what they fucking announced today on the Nintendo Direct? On the Switch as well. I gotta tell you, that makes it infinitely more appealing to me. Taking that kind of game on the go.
Which one?
You guys keep cutting out on me. What'd you say?
No, I didn't hear what game he said.
Outer Worlds, the new Obsidian RPG.
Oh yeah, on the Switch, yeah.
I know, and yet at the same time, the ability to play all that old shit on the go instantly makes it feel fresh and exciting. Like Doom 64 or The Witcher 3. The Witcher 3 complete. The ability to play that magnificent game on the fucking go.
We can't, but what about Doom 64, one of the greatest games ever made by man?
I did not care for Doom 64. You are not going to find love for that from me. It means nothing to me. The first Doom I actually enjoyed was Doom 2016.
That is fair.
So I want to take a brief aside and talk about today's surprise amazing direct, because they fucking dumped a ton of stuff. I'm just going to go rapid fire. Stop me when you want to talk about something, okay?
Yeah.
I'm going to switch. One of the worst kept secrets in gaming, but huge. Playing that kind of game on the go, it did wonders for Fortnite. It'll do wonders for Overwatch. Never gonna happen. One of the PC's best puzzle games, Return of the Obra Dinn, is coming to the Switch. The Pokemon studio Game Freak, their new RPG Little Town Hero comes out next month. Banjo-Kazooie hits Super Smash today. A Super Smash announced their new character, Terry Bogard from Fatal Fury, which I'm kind of bummed about. Not because I don't care for Fatal Fury. SNK has a huge presence in the gaming history, which is why he deserves a spot. But Terry's like the vanilla ice cream of Fatal Fury characters. He's basically Ken and Ryu. Yeah. He had so many more interesting characters that weren't just going to feel just like Ken and Ryu. Like, we could have had Mai, who is like had a much cooler design and fights with fans. Like a little more different, or like Joe, the Muay Thai boxer, would have been a little more interesting, or one of the bad guys, like Geese. I don't know. I'm just saying, I don't have a problem with Terry, because Fatal Fury is a fun game series, but a little better. But I get it. You got to always choose the mascot of the series, and Terry is the Ryu of Fatal Fury. I've made my peace. Yeah. Now, what's also cool is they announced, so Terry's the fourth of the fifth DLC characters, but then they're like, JK, we want to put more in. There's going to be even more DLC after that.
So this is over 100 characters in Smash.
No, right now we're only like 75.
Lies.
Now, then we found out, finally, on the one-year anniversary of Switch Online, Super Nintendo games are coming to Switch Online, starting with 20 games.
Tons of them.
There will be including some real good ones like the original Breath of Fire, Link to the Past, Mario Kart, Mario World, Super Metroid, Yoshi's Island, Star Fox. So it'll be the first time F-Zero hit the Switch. Just not a new one. Some really interesting ports coming to the Switch. So Tokyo Mirage Sessions, the Persona Fire Emblem mashup game, or the Shin Megami mashup, is one of the Wii U's last exclusives that no one ever played because it was on the Wii U. Is going to find new life on the Switch. Original Sin 2 coming to the Switch.
Yeah, that's a crazy thing.
This Vampyr. Does your Steam game carries over, and it also kept co-op.
That's crazy.
And it's available today. They just kept dropping, and it's available today's.
Yeah.
I fucking love it when they do that. Okay, hold on. Hold the phone. Because I forgot some. Like, they released today a brand new Kirby multiplayer fighting game. A bunch of people just... people.
Yeah.
Hold on.
You're holding.
Hold on.
Lots of.
All right, I'm trying to figure. Okay. So, yeah, Little Town Hero, Banjo-Kazooie, Terry. I lost my place, that's why. Tokyo Mirage Sessions coming. Deadly Premonition 2 announced for Switch, along with the original Deadly Premonition. Divinity: Original Sin 2, Doom 64, multiplayer game called Rogue Company, but it's not for me. Then Pokemon Sword and Shield gave us some new info, like the camp mode where you can cook curry for your Pokemon. They've got character customization. But what matters is, Chris, they announced two new Pokemon, and one of them is the best pun. It is a ghost in a tea kettle. Tea Geist.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I am so happy that Poltegeist is a thing. Here's one for Callie, Chris. Let her know that Tetris 99 version 2.0 comes out today. Yes. Coming out in 20 days.
Is she really a Tetris fiend?
She always sends me when she hits first place.
Oh man, that's insane. That's
awesome.
She's been playing Tetris since 1988. In the old country. Man.
This.
Yeah.
All right. Chris. Here's one for you, buddy. Jedi Knight 2, Jedi Outcast is coming to Switch. Okay. The Assassin's Creed Rebel Collection, it's going to include Black Flag and Rogue, coming to Switch.
That's cool.
Devil May Cry 2, coming to Switch. Then there was like 8 minutes of the most boring game in the world with Animal Crossing New Horizons. I almost fell asleep.
You did fall asleep.
Zeke Chronicles Definitive Edition. So they're remastering the original Xenoblade from the original Wii.
Nintendo just doesn't care. They really don't. They're like, yeah, we're just going to do this now.
And Nintendo has straight up dominated 2019, and it's not even close. What is that?
Like, yeah, this is us now. You just got to deal with it.
Okay. No, so here's the thing. There was a ton of really good games at PAX, but I only played games I didn't already play at PAX this year. So some of my favorite games from PAX East were also there, like Creature in the Well or Falcon Age and like Get in the Car Loser and stuff like that. Like, so if I had already played it, I made a point to not play it again, if that makes sense, because I already knew I liked them. Now there's so many games at PAX, you have it you already know you're going to like the others.
So what was the one besides Final Fantasy VII that really kind of set you off?
Okay, so the one that and by that I mean like the kind of game that came out of nowhere and just surprised me. Forgone. Now, when you look at it, you're going to get very, very strong Dead Cells vibes. A retro pixel art game, like action game. It is unlike Dead Cells. It's not a roguelike. And the game restarts and everything randomizes and you don't carry anything over. It's a game with a like actual story and everything's set. So when you die, yeah, you restart the level, but the layout doesn't change. The enemies don't change. So you can get better each time. Your progress carries over with each death. And it's a sci-fi bend instead of more of a fantasy bend. Played incredibly. It looked so pretty. And they won me over literally with just the phrase, it's not a roguelike. Because roguelikes are probably my least favorite genre. Yeah, and I don't like it. I like to make progress in my games. I like to complete a game. I like to, like, very few roguelikes win me over. One of them is Dead Cells. One of them was Enter the Gungeon. One of them was a Rogue Legacy. You know, those are fun. Those are good ones. But there's few and far between for how many come out. And I'm sure some people love them. Some people probably feel the way I feel about roguelikes, about Metroidvanias. You know, like, okay. Oh, it's another Metroidvania. And I'm sitting there like, give them all to me. So it's fair. Probably my biggest surprise of the show. Because I went in not knowing anything about it and went from, yeah, I needed my life. A surprise game?
Do we have a date on that game?
Foregone, it's early 2020.
Okay.
Another game coming in 2020 called Infernax. Deliberately goes uses an NES style aesthetic. Not like high-res retro pixel art kind of stuff, but literal Shovel Knight kind of. Chris, I love the elevator pitch they gave me. You ready? Zelda 2 and Castlevania 2 are probably the most divisive franchises and fan favorite genres. What if they were good? Literally, is Castlevania 2 and Zelda 2 merged together and had a baby, but like with today's sensibilities and gameplay, like philosophies?
Because honestly, those two games I enjoy. I like Simon's Quest.
You ready?
And I like Zelda 2.
Infernax. Infernax. It's incredible, and it's incredibly hard. Well, not incredibly, but like those kind of games were. And it has like over-the-top gore, which I think is hilarious. But like all the mechanics that people used to hate, like Castlevania 2's curse system and the night and day thing, they turned it into actual gameplay mechanics where certain quests can only be done at night, and that type of thing. The Zelda 2 battle system basically in play with magic spells and items that that you can increase your inventory with, and the fact that your sword's always out. And it's just really good.
Awesome.
Oh, also, they won hands down the best booth. Created your grandma's old living room from the 80s. So they bought they brought in this really gaudy looking couch, like old lady couch, and an old lady rocking chair. And nice. They had taken a TV and rebuilt it, to, like built a shell around it to make it look like a wooden CRTV. Handed out Capri Suns and cups of goldfish crackers to everyone that played the game.
This,
to make it look like you were a kid in the 1980s, it was fucking perfect.
I gotta find pictures of this booth.
On Google, I did not take pictures of the booth, but I interviewed the guy, so maybe it's in the interview. But, really fucking awesome. Oh yeah, 100%, it drew you in with that alone. Infernax was real good. Yeah, how'd you think? I mean, it's easy when it's on Game Pass. Because they're not good. Yeah, exactly. I posted a picture of Infernax in the chat.
Nice. Yeah. Nice.
I know. It's weird. Not quite yet, but no.
Do it.
Oh. Say what you were gonna say. Okay. Yeah. And you saved everybody. Why is that? Okay. So you know I did. Okay. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, nice. That's pretty cool. Also, like, they have an. Oh, sorry. Can I just interject and say one of the other cool things people should know is the online mode that I think makes it perfect for like streaming events like charities, where it's an online thing and the people online vote for what option you have to choose, and then the audience determines what choices you make. Nice. Yeah, that didn't do anything for me. Sure. That's the beauty of Game Pass, man, is that it doesn't
It
matter
is
if you
free.
like it or not. You can download it, try it, and get rid of it. Right. Okay. All right. So I'm trying to. I didn't make a list of the games I played as I played them, and I'm kind of annoyed by that. I'm kicking myself now. But can I just tell you, as a fan of the beat 'em up brawler genre, like old school Streets of Rage, that kind of stuff, Final Fight, Josh, did you ever like that stuff?
Yeah.
It's coming back strong. There
I'm
was
noticing. I'm noticing that.
so many games there that were in that genre that were just bringing it back. And the biggest of them all was Streets of Rage 4.
Oh yeah.
It is amazing. Fun. It takes place 10 years after Streets of Rage 3.
I'm hoping we get a golden axe also.
Honestly, at this point, we probably will. Because not only was Streets of Rage 4 incredible, but let me tell you about a game called and it's out now, River City Girls.
Okay.
So it's a spin-off of the River City Ransom franchise, which is one of the original beat 'em up brawlers, along with Double Dragon,
Is it just like River
by
City
Arc
Ransom?
System. Made by the it's an Arc System Works game, but it's being made by WayForward, the people that did like Shanty and stuff. Shantae? I don't know. Point is, they're flipping it on the head, and the main characters from River City Ransom, they get kidnapped this time, and their girlfriends have to save them. And it's amazing because what the gameplay is fun. It is classic beat 'em up brawler, but like with combo attacks and level ups and skill systems. There is the fucking humor and like charm in the character of these girls. They are hilarious. The voice acting is amazing. Soundtrack is fucking dope.
And what is the
Intro
game called
song,
again?
River City Girls. And then there's another game coming out called Young Souls. Co-op beat 'em up brawler, but with an R more RPG. You can you during there's a day system where you go around the town and you can like equip stuff, level up, buy new weapons, that type of thing. And then at night you go into the portal and you progress through the game in a classic style.
Oh, cool.
Oh, so good. Just so good.
No, they are. They're at a really good point. And they're great. And video games are great. And until people start pinning mass shootings on video games and all that fun stuff. But man, I tell you, like, it's only like a sliver of video games.
I know.
It's only a sliver. This River City Girls looks like a blast.
Oh, dude, it's so good. Like, I wish would you because we played it co-op, and it was just incredible. Limited Run Games is releasing Jay and Silent Bob Mall Brawl.
What?
Jay and Silent Bob beat 'em up game, but it's and here's the kick: it's an NES game.
It's called Mall
Brawl? It's a literal NES cartridge that only plays on an NES. They've been doing that with the Star Wars classic games. They've been releasing them on Game Boy Advance and NES cartridges. It's phenomenal. Sure did. Which I'm very bummed that the Capcom version of Aladdin is not part of it. To me, it is.
I thought the Genesis version was good. Wasn't it? Isn't it the...
That's what some people say, and I just have always preferred the SNES version.
Okay.
Okay. No, but it should, especially with Nintendo killing off emulators. I mean, here's the thing. I think it's important. I think we should have it. And if a company doesn't want to constantly re-release a game, no game should be lost into the ether because of licensing issues or whatever. And that's the problem. Like, Scott Pilgrim vs. the World is one of the greatest games from last generation. Unplayable now. No, you can't get it ever. It's just gone off digital storefronts. It never had a physical copy. If Telltale hadn't been revived last week with Telltale 2.0, it would be gone forever. And I get it. Licensed games, it's tricky. But at the same time, non-licensed games are disappearing. Like, once online specific games, their servers shut down, they're dead. They're gone. How big they are. It doesn't matter how much you paid for them. 10 years after the fact, all these games are gone. Case. Uncharted. And also, even on PlayStation 4, Drive Club, the servers are shutting down. I mean, yeah, it's still a single-player content, but Drive Club's one of the poster children for turning it all around. It's just a shame. Yeah, exactly.
You're right, it isn't.
No.
Man. That's true. There's so many of them, and it's just... It's crazy to think, like, what are we going to do? Like, how are they going to preserve? And who is going to do it?
Because the people that try and do it just... I don't know. I don't either. It's just frustrating. But yeah, anyway, I mean, I played lots of other games. There was so many.
Yeah, I can just imagine the amount that was there. It's PAX. It's crazy. Like,
I'm gonna show you something right now that I'm gonna put it in the chat, and I want you guys to look at it. So it was great. It was an RPG. Death Bulge, Battle of the Bands.
Death Bowl, Death, Battle of the Band?
Bulge. Death Bulge. Like Battle of the Bulge. Was it fantastic? It had a killer art style, a really good soundtrack, and it was really funny. Post, I can't find like a legit trailer for it, so I'm just gonna post a trailer link to the thing from demo I played. It's very charming and it's
that
funny.
Like a, that looks like a blast.
Of course.
Yeah.
Super charming. So I played that. That was another huge surprise. I played Trials of Mana, the remake, the for the Seiken Densetsu 3. My one gripe is that the camera is too close to the character. It's not zoomed out enough to like see more around you, so you fight with the camera almost as much as the enemies. So I hope that's fixed.
That sucks.
But I mean, it was real good. The voice acting is really good. The battle system is awesome. Like, good. It feels good. I just, good. The camera is the biggest issue. I want the camera fixed. That's all. I want the camera to be an option. Exactly. They might. Yeah. By the way, Chris, I've decided to cancel my Doom Collector's Edition, my Doom Eternal Collector's Edition, for the Steelbook. And now, and Best Buy just announced that all pre-orders get the Steelbook for free.
Ooh. Look at you going all Steelbooking.
Well, it's fucking awesome. The problem is, that's why I'm so happy when things like this happen, where I don't have to pay for a $200 collector's edition and then try and flip the
and
rest
flip
of it.
Stuff in there.
Like flip everything but the game, because people do that.
No, they do.
Flip
yeah,
everything
true.
But the game. Yeah. Do you like Doom enough for the collector's edition? Should I just sell it to you? You know what comes in it? A fully wearable Doom helmet?
that's a lot.
It has a wearable Doom helmet. It has an 11x17 Doom Eternal lithograph. Track on an actual cassette tape. Oh, shit. Come with the season pass. But I really only need the sound, the steelbook, because that is a dope ass steelbook. I know, and that's not for us anymore, but it's in your head, Chris. It's wearable. No, I know. All I'm saying is that it's hilarious, because remember how many people bought the Halo 3 collector's edition for the helmet? It wasn't wearable. And then it became a cat helmet because that was the only thing that could fit. So I love that now they're all saying it's a wearable helmet because the Halo 3 debacle. I felt so gypped. Yeah. Oh. Upsetting. I'm sorry. I was frustrated. Yes. Hated it. Hated it. The Viva Pinata one was annoying. Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Up. Bird. Exactly. But anyway, yeah, so Doom, you get a free steelbook, Chris.
Matt's got a steelbook problem. I'm not laughing at him for it. I'm laughing at the addiction.
Hey, let's be absolutely real here, okay? I'm going to keep it 100, all right? Done. Hold the absolute phone.
Yeah.
Sorry. I was right. I used to buy every collector's edition regardless. Didn't matter how much it was, but I have pared myself down and I now only get steelbooks. I sell off the rest, everything else. I just want the steelbook. Did, but then I sold them all. Remember? Was. Made a lot of money. It was awesome. Yeah. Okay. Well, you should. Nope, name. Huh? Okay. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, welcome to the party, buddy.
Because we didn't get to see him be depressed like Thor. He just didn't take it as bad. He got snapped. I don't know. Reasons. Hey, maybe that's it. Maybe he was wearing too many layers and people took that to mean something different.
Man.
Dear. Because they need to be defeated. That's literally the whole point of the movies. You can't just lose. Come on now. Yeah. I mean, I guess Darkseid never actually got beaten. He never showed up. DC fucked that up.
Yeah. Oh. Ooh.
Steer. It's the dumbest question. Next.
What? Oh my god. Well, because Warner Brothers has it and they can't. They legally can't do that.
Yes. Ah, dude was jacked. Oh. Crush me, daddy.
You guys.
Yes. Why aren't you asking Josh any questions? Hi. Hi. Question. The answer is why.
Oh. Man, I have to say, like, people like to ask some of the weirdest questions.
Yeah. Because Superman absolutely would defeat the Hulk. Superman is really? Bullshit, and the Hulk is not magical. Yes, Superman would win.
How?
Because it's called heat beams from fucking space. Here's the thing, Josh. Superman is as strong as Hulk, if not stronger, but he's also got super speed, flight, laser beams, x-ray vision, super hearing, all that kind of stuff. Like, sure, there'll probably be a scene where the Hulk claps his hands and creates a sonic boom that disrupts his hearing, and oh no, he takes a couple punches. But then Superman's gonna get hit by a fucking ray of sun, and then power right back up. Superman could literally fly with the sun. Superman could flick him off into space with his super speed and flight and ability to be in space because he's walking bullshit. Unless Hulk teamed up with Doctor Strange, done deal.
Okay. Well.
Also, fucking frost breath. Again, all these abilities to stop Hulk before he even touches him.
Superman's a bullshit character, by the way.
Superman is 100%. But that's why the good Superman comics are the ones that, like, fix that.
Yeah. I hear you.
Yes. I don't know what the list of weakest or strongest is. Okay, Iron Man would stop him. Yeah. Some sexy ass babies.
You have leveled.
Josh, get a Switch. Aren't you going to ask me why?
Oh, I know why.
Is it Astral Chain?
I heard it's really good.
It's definitely your game. Didn't you like Metal Gear Revengeance?
Yeah.
Yeah, same people.
Oh, awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, son. Awesome. Good times. I like that segment.
Yeah, because we have a starter question for next week. So what do we have? What do we have for next week, Chris?
Our feelings.
It is the pre Borderlands 3 show.
No, I'm sorry. Next week is the Gears of War 5 show. Can we talk about how they're calling it the God of War moment for Gears of War?
I don't believe.
No. Everyone I've talked to, it switches to a more open world focus. The character, you switch from all the meathead like soldier boys to like this really complex female character with like actual motivation and character development. The gameplay is supposedly like super fucking cool and it's gorgeous. I'm so excited to play it.
Borderlands 3.
Borderlands 3 can fucking suck a dick for right now.
Wow.
We had a huge, obnoxious booth at PAX West, and I could not give less of a shit. I'm not waiting 6 hours to play a game that comes out in 2 weeks. You can go fuck right off with that.
Yeah, why would you
I'm
do
sorry.
That? Why? No.
Heaven was the only AAA game I made in for, and that's because I got to get in before everyone else and just get in line so I was first in the day. Like, I wasn't going to... Yeah, no, I'm sorry. If it's a game that's going to come out so soon, why would I waste my time?
In like 2 weeks? Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. You already know if you like Borderlands or not.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cray-cray, son.
It is cray-cray.
Okay. Our whoever wins, we all lose. Skyrim and Fallout.
Oh, I like this. I like this. All right.
I already gave you my answer. Okay. Yeah.
That's pretty exciting.
Okay. Yes. No, what are we talking about? Is it the new one? Yet. I told you I haven't read it yet. Okay. Okay. Sounds good.
Good night.